Delving into the glory, dark, and scary history of Hollywood pop culture and wickedly world events, it's another episode of Jimmy Falcon's True Crime Podcast. And this week we're delving into the Great Molasses Flood, which has a couple of different names. It's also known as the Boston Molasses Disaster, or the Great Boston Molasses Flood, which was a devastating event that occurred on January 15th, 1919, in Boston, Massachusetts' North End. An extremely large but shoddy built tank of molasses containing 2.3 million U.S. gallons of weight, approximately 13,000 short tons of hot liquid molasses, burst in the wave from this rush through the streets, estimated to be at a speed of 35 miles per hour, killing 21 people and injuring another 150. The event entered folklore, and residents claimed for decades later they could still smell that sweet molasses from that sad day. The site of the disaster was the Purity Distilling Company, 529 Commercial Street, close to Keeney Square. The company used the Harborside Commercial Street tank to hold their molasses, which had come from ships, and store it for later transfer by pipeline to their ethanol plant between Willow Street and Everettes Way in Cambridge. The tank stood approximately 50 foot tall with a 90 foot diameter. Contained as much as 2.3 million gallons of fluid. It's a lot of molasses. That morning, the temperature had risen about 40 degrees Fahrenheit and continued climbing steady from the cold temperature of the previous days. And on top of that, a fresh load of warm molasses was added to the already cold molasses, possibly due to thermal expansion with the older cold molasses inside, caused the tank to burst and collapse at approximately 12:30 p.m. Those who witnessed it reported feeling the ground shake and hearing a roar as if a train was passing. Others said they heard a loud crash, a thundering sound, and a gun-type sound while the rivets exploded from the tank. To get an idea, molasses has a density of about 1.4 tons per cubic meter, 40% denser than water, so its potential energy was great. The collapse transferred the energy into a large wave of molasses at a height of 25 foot at its peak. The Boston Railway's Atlantic structure was attacked by steel panels that burst from the tank, and a streetcar was temporarily tipped off its L tracks. A witness described the events as such, quote, "Molasses waist-deep covered the streets and swirled and bubbled about the wreckage. Here and there struggled a form. Whether it was animal or human being was impossible to tell. Only an upheaval, thrashing about in the sticky mess, showed where any life was. Horses died like so many flies on sticky paper. The more they struggled, the deeper in the mess they were ensnared. Human beings, men and women, suffered likewise." A truck was hurled in the nearby Boston Harbor and people were thrown into the air by a gust of air. Others were hit by flying debris. After the wave, the molasses became viscous by the cold temperatures, keeping those caught trapped and made it even worse for feeding them. About 150 people were injured, and 21 people and several horses were among those killed. Some were crushed to death or drowned in the molasses or debris that was carried in the wave. It was well reported that severe coughing fits were a common ailment at the time after the initial blast. In the aftermath, 116 cadets from the USS Nantucket ran blocks toward the incident and climbed into the knee-deep, hard, sticky mess to pull out the living, while others were busy keeping onlookers from getting in the way of rescue. There were so many injured that a makeshift hospital was set up in a building nearby to care for those injured. The rescuers found it hard to navigate the syrup in time to help victims, and a whopping 4 days went by before they called off the search. Many of the deceased were so badly covered in molasses that it were nearly impossible by the families to identify. Other victims were carried into the Boston Harbor and were found up to 4 months later. In one of the first ever class action lawsuits in a case that would influence how these cases were tried, residents sued the USIA, or the United States Industrial Alcohol Company, which purchased the company Purity Distilling 2 years prior in 1917. Court claimed by the company itself had noted the tank was blown to bits by, quote, anarchists, because part of the alcohol was being used in the making of munitions. However, coin-appointed auditor found the company USIA responsible for after 3 years of long, drawn-out hearings, where the company ended up paying about $628,000. That's roughly $9.26 million in these dollars, rounded up in 2020. Relatives of those lost in the incident received about $7,000 per victim, equal to $130,000 in 2019 dollars. Salt water from a local fireboat was used along with sand to absorb and contain the sticky mess, and the harbor itself was stained brown until that summer. It took many weeks for the cleanup to occur in the immediate area, while walkers, rescue workers, and even the cleanup crews tracked the molasses throughout the streets and spread it everywhere. Subway platforms, seats inside trains and streetcars, payphone handsets, and into homes. One person said everything that a Bostonian touched was sticky. There have been many causes explained for the accident itself, including poor construction and insufficient testing. Carbon dioxide production may have made the pressure internally higher. A 39-degree temperature rise over the previous day may have also assisted in the explosion. The failure happened at a manhole covered near the base of the tank, while a crack possible could have grew to the point of disaster. Many people believe the Purity Distilling Company was in a race with Prohibition, which was to be ratified the next day and to take effect 1 year later. USIA's treasurer had neglected basic tests of sanity while the tank was being built, and they didn't even put water in it to test for leaks or cracks, ignoring noises over time, and the tank was filled completely. It was even painted brown to hide the water leak, the molasses leakage. And the man also had no engineering experience. Residents even began filling jars from leaking outside of that tank home to be used in the kitchen. The tank was found in 2014 to be half as thick as needed, even with easy rules of the day as far as standards and practices. It was also made brittle by the fact it lacked any manganese, and the rivets were supposedly flawed while cracks formed at the rivet holes. Tank was never rebuilt. Boston Elevated Railway ended up buying the spot. It is now the spot of Langone Park, featuring a baseball field for little leaguers, a play area, and courts. There's also the larger Puopo Park. There's a small plaque commemorating the disaster at the gates of the complex. Laws and rules would be changed directly as a result of this accident, including oversight of a licensed architect and civil engineer. So unfortunately, this was a horrific accident, over 20 lives lost, hundreds injured, but with a lot of bad things, some good did come out of it. A lot of rules were changed, and of course it paved the way for the class action lawsuit, which has been happening a lot recently with Monsanto, among other companies. So it was really a paving point for future cases and future class action lawsuits, and probably helped save some lives with the oversights of contractors and architects. Alrighty, guys, that has been True Crime Podcast. Looks like next time we are going to be delving into the Columbine Massacre and Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, two young guys who really were loved by many people at the school, despite what rumors of the day and still were being said about them. But two guys that unfortunately just they went off the deep end in the wrong way and took out their frustrations in a lot of ways they shouldn't have. So we will touch on that the next time. This is Jimmy Falcon. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.